Hey guys,
I'm Sarah
and I'm Stephanie
and we're the hosts of
Dead Time Stories with a Z
is a weekly podcast where we tell you stories of ghosts, hauntings, mysteries, conspiracies,
the supernatural, paranormal,
the generally eerie, spooky,
and all around weird.
If you like scary stories, witty banter, and classy broads,
we're your ghouls.
Gals.
Some of our stories include Eastern State Penitentiary.
No.
And where is it? Does it
sum up 12?
No!
The Gettysburg Dime Museum.
They were like, show starts at 5, Mr. President. He was like, thank you, 5.
No, 7. He was like, thank you, 5.
Fort Mifflin.
So the Americans burned down their own fort. They were like, oh, you want this?
You want this?
Welcome to Philly.
And more.
New episodes are posted Thursdays at midnight on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Listen and subscribe, rate and review today.
Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige. Pictures of couples on social media are not always what they seem. After that picture is taken, we don't know what happens. Some couples may seem picture perfect online, but behind closed doors, those pictures you see are just an illusion, a facade, to convince people that life is grand. All the while, you may be thinking, gosh, I wish I was that happy. I wish I had a relationship like that. While in actuality, that relationship you think is so wonderful is a whirlwind of violence and vitriol. When we hear the words domestic violence, it's normal to think initially of women being the victim, because more often than not, that's the case. We see articles of women victims and survivors every single day, unfortunately. However, it's just not talked about enough that men are often abused, but they simply don't speak out about it because of shame, pride, and the old adage and way of thinking that men should be men. They shouldn't cry. They should be tough. Don't show emotions. Shrug it off. That needs to stop. Men should speak up more. That should not be a taboo thing to do. It's important and it's needed. Of course, no one has to share their story, and that's understandable if someone doesn't want to share it with the world. There are many reasons people don't want their story known, and that's okay too. Just know there are people all over the world who are so thankful that you exist, that you survived. A lot of men don't live to tell their stories, and a lot of men who do never say a word about it. I do encourage more men to speak out if they are ready and willing to. You need to know that you're not alone. Also, please talk to someone about your experience, even if it's going to a therapist or just talking to a close friend. Holding things in is so unhealthy, and to let those words out that you've been holding in for so long will be so freeing. No matter what, I want everyone to know, if you've survived domestic violence or you're in an abusive relationship right now, all of us love you. You're not alone, and there is help out there. In upcoming episodes, you will hear from two men so far who are survivors of domestic violence, and I'm so honored that they are sharing their stories with all of us. If you are a man who has survived domestic violence and you want to share your story, you can email me at reverietruecrime@gmail.com and we can work together on how you'd like to present your story. However you would like to get your story out there in a way that makes you comfortable is what we will do, and you can always choose to be anonymous. Now, a lot of the information in this episode came from a publication where Alex Skeel told his story in his own words to Sophie Haydock, distributed on February 15, 2019. There is also a BBC documentary called Abused by My Girlfriend, which I will link in the show notes as well as all of the other sources. And also posted are resources for help if you or someone you know are in a domestic violence situation. If you're ready, let's begin. In Stuart B. England, Alex Skeel and his twin brother were born on August 17, 1995, prematurely, only weighing 2 pounds. They were immediately taken to intensive care, and Alex had to have many operations at that time. As young children, Alex and his brother were little models for Asda, a grocery store chain in Leeds. In 2012, Alex was 16 years old and in college at the University of Hertfordshire when he met former gymnast Jordan Worth, who was also 16. Jordan received a degree in fine arts with dreams of becoming a teacher. She came from a loving and supportive family, seemingly your average teenage girl who didn't have problems in her home life and she had goals that she wanted to accomplish. Jordan and Alex were a couple, and at the age of 18, Jordan gave birth to their first little boy. Shortly after, the two made Bedfordshire their home. Eventually, they had another child together. Of course, during the first few months of the relationship, things were going well, and they were both happy. They enjoyed the simple things, like going on walks and watching movies. Alex was proud to be with Jordan in the beginning. It was exciting, new, and it felt right. However, this was not a picture-perfect little family, as their social media would have made you think. Their relationship turned dark. It was a nightmare. Not long after Alex and Jordan began their relationship, little by little, Jordan began to gradually pierce her abusive hooks into Alex in ways that were not so noticeable to him. She would start off by telling Alex which clothes to wear, which clothes and colors looked best on him, that the color gray didn't look good on him, which shoes she would prefer him to wear, talking him into getting a different hairstyle that she liked better, and telling Alex what was so-called best for him. It wasn't clicking with Alex that she was creating the person that she wanted him to be. He was happy to do these things for Jordan because at the time, he really wanted to impress her. All the while, he didn't realize he was letting his own confidence slowly fade away as he was turning into what Jordan wanted. She was also constantly looking for attention in any way she could. One day, they were over at Alex's parents' as they had gifted them tickets to London to see The Lion King. But suddenly, Jordan was nowhere to be found. They sought for her almost everywhere. When they finally found her, she was laughing manically. That was her way of getting Alex's attention, seeing if he would panic, worry, testing him to see what his reaction would be. Any attention was good attention for Jordan. Soon, Alex found himself isolated from his family and friends. Jordan took Alex's phone and sent messages to his family members, pretending to be Alex, telling them he didn't want anyone to talk to him anymore, and not to attempt to reach out. Afterwards, Jordan demolished Alex's phone. So even if his family did try to get in touch with him, they would not be able to. Next, social media. Jordan controlled his accounts, even making a brand new Facebook page as Alex so she could monitor what was said and reply to messages as Alex. Now he was completely alone with only Jordan, trapped and scared with no one he could reach out to or turn to in any way. There were times when things seemed to be going well, likely another mind game played by Jordan to placate Alex, to make him possibly want to stay since things weren't terrible every single day. The two would actually have fun, and Alex did love her and wanted so badly to make this work. It began to get scarier. Jordan would not allow Alex to eat, and he became very thin. Whenever he attempted to face her about all of the abuse, she would turn the tables and would drill it into his mind that he was the problem until he believed it. At some point, he was not even allowed to sleep in the same bed as her, and she forced him to sleep on the floor. At this point, their children were still babies. However, they were in that environment, soaking in everything that was going on around them. Jordan never abused the babies, but that's another reason Alex didn't leave, feeling as if he couldn't. He was scared that if he did leave, she might take her anger out physically on the innocent babies, and he couldn't bear the thought of that happening. Jordan pushed the envelope even more when she told Alex his grandfather passed away, which was a lie. After he cried and expressed how much he cared about his grandfather, who he had not seen in over a year, and his family, she didn't like that reaction. After about 2 hours of him crying and laying bare his feelings, Jordan spewed berating, hateful words and verbally broke him until he was shattered into pieces. After 18 months of mostly being mentally abused, the physical abuse began to heat up. The coercive control began in early 2016. Jordan was now in complete control, which made her feel gratified, powerful. She inflicted physical, psychological, and mental abuse on Alex. She was beginning to question him, very jealous, suspicious, and needed to be in control all the time or she couldn't take it. Throughout this one-sided relationship where Alex felt helpless, hopeless, and stuck, he of course believed he had to stay for their children, but also because he was in constant fear that Jordan would kill him. Jordan was spiraling even more, constantly hounding Alex with accusations that he was seeing or communicating with other girls. She claimed she was getting so many messages from people saying Alex was being unfaithful when he wasn't at all. In actuality, she had never been sent one message like that. It was a setup to see if he would admit that he had been seeing other girls. The maybes, the what-ifs, the suspicion that gnawed at her would soon express itself outwardly in a fit of rage. When Alex would finally fall asleep, Jordan would wake him up by knocking him over the head with a bottle, insisting that he tell her what he was thinking about. This abuse went on for so long, it seemed normal, as if this situation was just how it was going to be. No longer would her menacing and pain that she attempted to inflict on Alex even hurt anymore. He was numb. When Jordan noticed this, she had to take it up a notch. She couldn't stand that he was no longer hurting. She felt that she was losing control, losing her power. This episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, there's less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything, while still tasting good. You'll get better sleep, better recovery, better mental clarity, and alertness. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year of supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase at athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. There was one instance where Jordan grabbed the laptop charger. She bound it around her wrist, then swung the cord, with the metal plug hitting Alex across the head so hard that blood began to pour everywhere. When he asked for her help, he could only watch her as she went up the stairs laughing. Jordan said, "Why don't you just go and die? No one cares about you." Outside of the home, nobody would have known Jordan was an abuser at all. She was the aspiring teacher, the volunteer that helped animals that were deserted, and the one who helped raise funds for kids in Africa. Jordan was not someone who could be spotted by others as an abusive, violent person. After 3 years of being together in that house, which was not a home, but more like a prison, Jordan moved on to using knives as her abusive weapons towards Alex. She would lunge and slash at him, and once she barely missed a major artery in Alex's wrist. Not long after she started with the knives, Jordan doused Alex with scalding hot water after she backed him in the corner of a room as she held the boiling hot kettle, watching him suffer. A pain he says he has never experienced before, and his skin began to curdle. Alex even pleaded to lay in a bath full of cold water, and she let him do so. As he was experiencing the freezing water helping his skin, it made him feel better. He watched his skin peel away as Jordan bounded in, demanding him to get out of the bathtub, or if he didn't, she would pour boiling hot water all over him again. He suffered third-degree burns from the incident. He said if he ever groaned in pain, she would get pissed. She would tell him, "Get back in the tub then." Jordan did not want to hear any complaints from him after she would physically harm him, as if it annoyed her. She would screw with his head, playing mind games, and would micromanage everything she possibly could in Alex's life. Alex began to do what a lot of abuse victims do, which is lie to cover up for their abuser and how they actually sustained their injuries. Alex would go to the hospital for medical attention, but he wouldn't tell the truth. He would say that he stumbled, fell, and hit his head, and that the burns were from the shower water getting too hot. If Alex had bruises or black eyes, Jordan would put her makeup on him to cover it. Jordan would assault him with hammers, screwdrivers, her hairbrush that she kept in the car, and in her own words, she kept it to hit him wherever she could. She would use bottles and pieces of wood. Anything she could get her hands on would turn into a potential deadly weapon. Their neighbors would hear yelling, objects being thrown, hearing Alex yell, "Get off of me, you're hurting me." They even witnessed Jordan through the window, wielding a screwdriver or hammer, and would call the police each time, but Alex would lie. It's not that he wanted to protect Jordan, but he was doing so to protect himself and his children. No matter what the neighbors would hear, and no matter how many times they would see Alex leave the home, limping, his arm in a sling, burns on his arms, he would simply tell them he was self-harming, among other lies. Throughout all of this, remember, Jordan was not allowing Alex to have food most of the time. Alex's body began to shut down, and he was emaciated. In 2018, the cruel and violent relationship would finally come to an end. The police showed up to their home to follow up with them on a previous visit they'd had. They asked Alex a lot of questions, and he finally spoke out and told the truth. He couldn't take it any longer, and he could feel that he was on the brink of death. When the ambulance arrived at their residence, paramedics took note that burns on Alex's limbs were being self-treated with cling film. He was taken to the hospital where the doctors informed him that his injuries were so horrendous and his weight loss so severe, he only would have survived 10 more days at most. Alex had stab wounds in various places on his body and limbs. At first, he was scared that both legs might have to be amputated because he wasn't sure how severe it was. Fortunately, that did not have to happen. Alex believes Jordan's motive was pure envy because he was so close with his family, adored his friends, and she ripped him away from all of those people that he so deeply loved. She would even tell him she wanted to ruin his life. Thankfully, the evidence against Jordan was very strong, but the sad part is, the evidence was Alex's mental, physical, and emotional state. The injuries, the starvation, the mental state he was in when speaking to the police, that was the proof. Without those horrific things as evidence, it's scary to wonder if he would have been believed. Alex heartbreakingly said he was fortunate to be in the state he was physically in, because that is what would lead to Jordan being locked away and is what gave him his life back. Also, this was Alex's first relationship. They had been together since 2012, since they were only 16, and this didn't end until they were 22. Sometimes he thought maybe this was all normal. In 2019, he said he didn't want to be in a relationship with anyone for a very long time. He simply wanted to enjoy the things that Jordan took away from him, all the things he didn't get to enjoy as a teenager, the time he missed out on with his friends and family. When questioned by the police, Jordan was seemingly sorrier that she got caught and not for what she had inflicted upon Alex over the years. Not for what their babies witnessed, but she was sorry that she was being exposed for who and what she really was. In court, she pleaded guilty. Alex believes this was only to get a lighter sentence. In April of 2018, at Lutton Crown Court, Jordan was sentenced to 7.5 years in prison. She confessed to controlling or coercive behavior in an intimate relationship, wounding with intent and causing grievous bodily harm. She was also banned from contacting Alex indefinitely. Alex was so numb at that point. Nothing made him feel happiness, sadness, or anger. He was merely existing. For example, in the past, he would get so pumped up if his favorite football team won a game. The excitement and rowdiness that he used to exhibit, as so many sports lovers do, disappeared. If his favorite team won, he'd simply think, job well done then. So, when he heard the verdict, it was much the same. Essentially thinking, well, justice is served. He attributes his emotional plunge to the trauma he endured, no longer able to feel anything. People will ask Alex why he never left, but for him, it was never that easy. For any abuse victim, it is never that easy. There are always many things to consider, and the process of leaving is terrifying and usually unsafe. He had his two babies to think about, which made things even harder. He knew what domestic violence was. He knew he was in a bad situation, and what was happening to him was wrong. However, he always thought, maybe one day it will just stop. Any day with one less physical hit was a great day in Alex's world. When he knew that Jordan was secured in the van on her way to prison, it was the first time in 5 years that he didn't have one worry, and he felt like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders. Jordan Worth was the first woman in the UK to go to prison for coercive and controlling behavior. After she was locked away, someone was still posting to her Facebook page. Links were posted about domestic violence, suggesting she was the victim. Even a link to a group called Battered Woman Syndrome, with a photo of a man slapping a woman, including the words, "The day you raise your hand to a woman, that's the day you're officially no longer a man." There were many links like this posted to her Facebook, such as stories about Stockholm Syndrome, one story about a man who beat a pregnant woman which caused her to miscarry, an article that said, "How can we protect our daughters from abusive relationships?" Another article titled, "My boyfriend cuts himself after we get in an argument," and it goes on, and it's absolutely disturbing, bizarre, and revolting. Alex said the children don't really know much, if anything. He is keeping the court documents and information for when they are older and much more mature, and then, if they want to know, he will tell them the story. Alex stated, quote, "I'm not stupid enough to think that everyone's going to be like Jordan, but I'm not ready for another relationship right now. I just want to enjoy the things I used to enjoy as a child, because Jordan took everything away from me and destroyed it, like football trophies, tickets for football matches, possessions, all ruined. I've got to try to build that back up, which I have done with the help of male domestic abuse charities. I sometimes think the main reason I'm alive is to raise awareness. Why didn't the knife go in the wrong place? Why wasn't I hit in the wrong place? I never had a fractured skull, and I was hit thousands of times. That just amazes me. Why not? There must be a reason for it. The reason is to help people. I only hope that things get better for other victims." Sadly, Alex now suffers from hydrocephalus, which is caused by fluid buildup in the skull, and has permanent scarring from the second and third degree burns. Detective Chief Inspector Jerry Waite said, quote, "This case highlights that we will listen. We will take any allegation seriously, and any victim of domestic abuse, we will support them." The BBC documentary Abused by My Girlfriend is available to watch online, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and as always, please stay safe and take care.